This morning's going to be a special morning. I'm encouraged, and I'm at a place where I hope I don't cry too much. But as you guys know, this location, we're going to be closing this location down at the end of this month. So today, we're going to take some time, and you and I both know, you all know, that God's done amazing things through this church. He just really has. And what I want to highlight today is we are Jesus followers. That we are Jesus followers, and that's the bottom line. That's where it starts. When 9 years, I guess almost 9 years ago, we started thinking about starting a church here in Utah County because we saw God at work, we saw a lot of things happening, we saw opportunity, and we wanted to follow Jesus. We wanted to follow him in exactly what he was doing when he was doing it. So a number of us, the Evensons and the McEnroys and the Hunters and the Tree Rises and Bob, a number of us actually moved down here and partnered with some folks. We partnered with, remember, the Peary's and the Edwards and a bunch of people that we have labored with over the years. But as Jesus followers, sometimes you need to expect the unexpected. There's just things that don't go maybe exactly like we think. In fact, most of the time, that's what happens. God takes us on this sometimes roller coaster ride that, oh my goodness, along the way, we're white knuckling it. And in that, in the very center of that, is where God often teaches us. Right in those places where we don't understand. We don't. What are you doing here, God? I don't understand that. And that's kind of in the place. And some of us, I know, I've talked to most of you through this transition. We are at that place. And if you're new here today, hallelujah! You get to see how Jesus followers follow Jesus, because God's doing a change. 9 years ago, we didn't plan to come here and stop in 2015, meeting in this old warehouse. I've spent a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this warehouse, and many of you have. We've had such opportunity for the gospel. We've had such opportunity to be Jesus followers. When I was thinking about this, there's lots of stories in the Bible where men and women were following the Lord, and he would change the course or the direction, and unbeknownst to them, they had to do completely different things, whether they were living in tents and they saw the fire was moving or the cloud moving. All throughout the Bible, we see men and women following the Lord and him changing up. The one that came to mind was in Matthew chapter 1. I want to talk about Joseph. Joseph had to change direction. Remember Joseph and Mary? I was thinking during the Christmas season, this would be a really good story to kind of use as an example. So I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. And then I'm just going to expound on that in my own words. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered those things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Called her name Jesus. So let's put ourselves in Joseph's place for a minute. He was betrothed. Now, most of us think of that as engagement. So they were engaged to be married. So back in the day, that even meant more than it does now. So when you were betrothed to someone, when you promised, it was a covenant. It was a promise that you would know, and your parents would know, and your community would know. Your whole world would know that you guys are set up to be together. And so that was Joseph's whole world, was I'm betrothed, I'm engaged to Mary, and I'm going to be with her for the rest of my life. So I got to believe that Joseph was making some plans. I'm thinking that his parents were making some plans, that this was how it's going to go. Maybe even when Joseph was born, maybe even his parents thought, oh, here's my son. One day, they probably asked God for a wife for him, that one day that would happen. Joseph would have a wife, and they'd have a baby, and we would have grandchildren. And there, so here's Joseph. Can you imagine? He finds out the woman that he loves, that he's made a covenant promise, that he'd made plans that they would be together. She's pregnant. He finds out she's pregnant. You know, in our society, that might not be so shocking as much as it was then. He had to be wrecked. He must have been just astonished. Are you kidding me? What happened? Because he found out before God helped him. So he was wrestling with this. He was wrestling with this. Oh, my goodness. And God, in his kindness, helped Joseph. God actually came to Joseph in a dream and revealed himself to Joseph. I think Joseph needed that at just the right time. He needed God to show him who he was and what he was up to and what he was doing so Joseph could expect the unexpected. So Joseph could certainly be thankful for that. So God revealed to him what was happening here. But I still think he had to still live life. He still had to walk in faith. He had this dream, and God showed him clearly what was going on. But Joseph, on the other end of that, he had to count the cost. He had to walk in faith. And for us as well, I think with this church, there's change here. We are Jesus followers. There's a change going on here, but that doesn't change us following Jesus. Now, he's going to have to speak to each one of us. We need to seek him and hear clearly exactly what that means for us and for our families. I know I have, and God settled it with me. I have peace. I'm a Jesus follower, and I'm following him to another place. But we're still the church. We're still the body of Christ. It's going to look different. But it's going to take a measure of faith. And I'm thankful for that, because whenever it takes faith, I grow. When I felt God led me to come and be a part of planning this church in Provo, Utah, of all places, an uneducated blue-collar man coming to an educated city with BYU and UVU, that I would be one of the people helping with that church plant, I was overwhelmed. But I am a Jesus follower. So I will go where Jesus calls me to go. And I will continue to do that for the rest of my days. You know, 6 years ago, I found out I had cancer. Right about this time, 6 years ago, I was taking chemotherapy. And I thought, oh my goodness, Lord, how does this fit into my pastoral role as leading your church? I remember 6 years ago, I was all pukey and I lost a lot of weight, and I just felt horrible. And I thought, oh my goodness, how does having cancer fit into this? And then God really spoke to my heart. I don't remember a more intimate time with the Lord than that time for me in my life. So he revealed some things to me. One was, Mac, you're my son, and you are a Jesus follower. So what do I do with that? Well, in the hospital, you talk to the doctors, and you talk to the nurses, and you talk to other people that have cancer, and you are a Jesus follower. So expect the unexpected. You may be in a place where you're going, I don't know what church I'm going to go to. I want to stay with the Rock, but how could I commute clear up to Draper? It's on the other part of the world. follow Jesus. My heart of hearts would be that we would be Jesus followers. That doesn't stop, that continues. God will help us with all the logistical details. He's going to help us with that. One of my life verses is from Proverbs. I love it when Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Man, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I'm a Jesus follower, and I am trusting God to make my paths straight. And I encourage all of you as well, be Jesus followers. You look to him to lead you. Don't look to a church or an organization. You look to Jesus. Where would he have you? He could very well have you with the rock continuing on. That would be my heart. As your brother, I want us all to be together. I just want a big group hug for the rest of our life. But, you know, that's most likely not realistic. There's going to be change. Some of you are going to go through really hard things. I will probably go through really hard things. You know why? Because it's good for me. And it's good for me to expect the unexpected. Because oftentimes, that's how God moves. Today, we want to highlight a little bit. We want to give God glory. Got a few people that are just going to share how God's used this little warehouse in the body of Christ here together to impact their lives. There's been literally thousands of people in and out of here. I don't know how many people we baptized people here. We baptized people out in the parking lot. We baptized people over here by the fence. I remember the guy that used to own the restaurant back here one day walking around with his gun because he didn't like us. He didn't like me specifically, and I thought, what's he going to do with that gun? And what he did broke my heart. I remember kids out in the parking lot. Oh, my. You know, I've been to some of their funerals, and I'm thankful that they came to Christ, came to Jesus. I've been to a lot of funerals since I've come to Utah County. I'm thankful I had a chance to talk to a lot of those people before they died. We are Jesus followers. and no matter where he puts us, that's our response. We are Jesus followers. It may get harder. There's a lot of highs and lows in front of us. And I'm looking forward to each and every one of them. Don't miss a thing that God's doing in your life. Don't miss a thing, because he's amazing and he's at work. So I'm going to go ahead and invite our string of people that are going to share. And at the end of the time, we're going to have communion again. And so I'll lead us in communion at the end of the time. But we're just going to take some time now and hear from some of the saints. I asked Sean Tafoya to kick us off, so he'll be our first speaker. So why don't you come on up here, Sean? And right when Sean's finished, then Millie's going to come up and share a little bit. And then after Millie, Bill's going to come up. My co-pastor, Bill Young, is going to come up. Then after Bill comes up, then Paul Linhart's going to... I'm going to watch him with the microphone. I might have to pull it off if he can. Paul is going to come up, and then Janice is going to finish us off, and I'll come up and lead us in communion after that. So that's what it's going to look like. Well, after they speak, we're going to sing a couple more songs, then I'll come up and lead us in communion. So come on up, Sean. Brother, it's a joy. I'm looking forward to what you have to say. I love you. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Sean. So I think there's two main things I thought of when he asked me to share. And one would be what God has done through us as a community. and the other thing is what God has done through us for the community. So one thing I just getting to know half of you, like I think of Bilbo Baggins when he's like, I know half as much as you as I would like to, and I don't know half as much as you than you deserve or like you or something like that. but it's true. Like there's a lot of you that I don't know as well as I should, and I think that's maybe one of my regrets is not being as intentional in community. But at the same time, God has done a lot. You know. I'm like, I've celebrated birthdays with you guys. I've been to hospitals with you guys. I've been, you know, it's just God has done a lot of really hard things and amazing things through it all. Like, there's times where my mom was sick, and there was meals, and there was prayer. And the most important part was prayer. I mean, like, it was cool to see the community of believers in action, you know? And that with other people at the Rock. There's life's hard, and sometimes, and as a church and as a body, we get each other through it by the grace of God. So that's the one thing. And like Max said, we've seen a lot of people come and go in baby blankets and in caskets, and it's crazy. So the other thing is what we've seen. Like one thing I was thinking is, like, I was bummed at first, you know. I was like, oh man, but I was thinking something that I've heard in a sermon before, is that we need to cultivate a attitude of gratitude, you know. Like, it's a bummer, right? I get bummed, but at the same time, people have been saved in that lobby. People have been saved. They've raised their hands and said, "We're for Jesus," in this sanctuary, you know. And I think that's the goal, you know. Community is the goal, obviously, and raising disciples is the goal, but also seeing people come from death to life. That is a precious thing. So, yeah, I think that was all, well, my two thoughts. But I just want to say I love you guys, and I'm excited. You know, I was thinking, Bob was sharing, I don't know if you guys remember, a couple weeks ago, we were praying for the persecuted church, you know? And we think of the persecuted church. He was sharing, pray for Tanzania. Whoa, there you go. Pray for Tanzania or whatever, because believers go to church, and it's blown up. You know, the building's just not there anymore because of evil people, you know? And, you know, I'm grateful that we can meet somewhere right now, you know, even for another month or whatever. So anyways, so I think it's good to cultivate gratitude, because it's like, hey, like Max said, like, a lot of people moved down here to like sacrifice, like quit jobs, change careers, you know, commuted for an hour every day just to be in this community, because it was more important for them. They'd rather lose an hour or two a day to the commute as a sacrifice to love people here in Provo. So anyways, I'm grateful for that, and yeah, I love all of you half as much as I should. Oh, yeah, all right.
Good job. Thank you, Sean. Awesome. Here you go, Millie.
Hi, I'm Millie. First off, I want to say, you know, I was part of this Provo group that came to Salt Lake all the time, and we traveled there. And, you know, it was amazing. That's where I got saved. I was at the Rock. You know, I was one of those people that were lost in addiction, just completely lost. You know, and I'm thankful for the people that, you know, put their faith out there and decided to, you know, start a church here in Provo. You know, McEnroy's, the Emonsons, the Hunters, everybody that put their life, you know, their faith in Jesus and came here with their families. You know, this church has taught me a lot. The people, this is my family. My family are not believers whatsoever. You know, I'm nervous, sorry. You know, it is emotional to see everybody leave, but once again, this is a warehouse. You know, the body is the church. And, you know, I'm sad. I am. But I know there's good things in the works. And, you know, first off, I'm thankful for every relationship that I have. You know, I've gotten a lot of things through here. I mean, obviously, I married a Christian, a believer. You know, I came with a family. I have a new baby through the grace of God. And all these relationships. You know, one thing that you guys have taught me is, you know, we've had a bumpy road through everything, through our marriage, through life, with our families and everything, and no matter what, you guys always were standing behind us, rooting for me and my husband especially, you know, through everything, through the good and the bad, and little cheerleaders, love it. But I want to thank every one of you. You know, I'm excited to go up there. You know, I'm going to miss our small groups. I love our small groups right now. I'm going to miss our women's groups. I'm going to miss all of you, you know, and I hope to see all of you up there. But I know that, you know, somewhere I miss the people that's left. Thankful for the people that have gotten saved here. And, yeah, just thankful, very thankful for Jesus. And I'm thankful for, you know, what he's done in my life. Because when I came here, I believed I was going to hell. And I know where I'm going now. So, and that's pretty much all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Millie. It blesses our lives to be in these people's world. I'm thankful for that. Bill, if you wanted to come up and share a little bit, that would be great. And then after Bill, Paul's going to come up.
You know, I think it's kind of cool how the Holy Spirit leads us. I was praying this morning about this time and what verses to share. If you don't know me, I'm Bill. I pastor in Draper right now, but I've been part of this church from the very beginning. And I just want to share the verse that God gave me. He gave me a couple thoughts, but this one was out of John chapter 21, and it amazes me that how it goes along with what Mac just shared. And it's a story of when Peter was being restored by the risen Jesus, remember? And Jesus asked him, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And at the end of that, an interesting little story right at the very, very end of the book of John, just something that's kind of intriguing. Jesus says to Peter the last time, "Feed my sheep," and he says some other things, and he says, "Then Jesus said to Peter, follow me." And that's what Mac just said. I'm a Jesus follower. And he is. He's a Jesus follower. And so many of you are Jesus followers. And then it says this. It says in verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. That's the disciple John. He called himself the one that Jesus loved. So Peter just kind of gets restored back to Jesus. Jesus is risen from the dead. He turns around and he sees John, his buddy, his fellow apostle, fellow disciple, following, kind of tagging along with him and Peter. And Jesus, Peter says something interesting. Peter says this. He said, he saw the disciple and he leaned toward Jesus. When he saw him, he asked the Lord, "What about him? Lord, what about him?" And you know, we can think that in a situation like this. What about that person? What about all this? What about this building? What about everything that we've worked for? And those are legitimate questions, so it is a bittersweet. But it's interesting that Peter would turn and see John and say, "Jesus, what about him? What's going to happen to him?" And Jesus' response, here's what he said. This is, to me, intriguing. He said, "If I want him, if I want John to remain alive until I return, what is that to you, Peter? What is that to you? Don't worry about him. I got him. This is about you and me right now, Peter. You're a Jesus follower. You follow me. I will take care of John. I'll take care of everything about John." And then Jesus says this. He says, "You must follow me. You must follow me. I'll take care of John. Don't worry about John. I'll take care of him. I know you love him. I know you've been buddies. He's got a whole different path he's going to take. In fact, their paths were completely different. John got exiled to the island of Patmos and died there. Peter was crucified upside down. So two different paths. Peter helped lead the church for years. But I love that. You must follow me." And I think, I just want to reiterate what Max said, that the McEnroys and so many of you, all of you, you need to be Jesus followers, and you are. You know, the McEnroys and my family, we moved out 16 and a half years ago, May 1st, we moved out to Salt Lake City from Colorado. We were in the same church together in Loveland, Colorado. We had a team of people we were gathering, but at that point only the McEnroys and Youngs could move out. We bought houses, four houses apart from each other, without our wives even being in town to see the houses. They bought the house, we bought the houses, showed them a video of it, and they're such good women, they said, go for it. We'll that's what they said. They just let the husbands, Mac and I, of all things, bought our houses just real close to each other, so we grew up in Salt Lake together. We had the first service in my house, in my living room, with the McEnroys and the Youngs, and Kelsey was watching our kids down in the basement. So we had four adults, I think, during that time. That was the first service 16 and a half years ago. God has done amazing things. He has. So I've been a part of this from the beginning, as the McEnroys have been. And it's been a blessing to see what God has done. And God, here's the deal, and I know you know this, is that what's happening now, the transition that's happening now, is part of God's plan, I believe. And we can be confident of that. And we can look back and we can see all this and we can say, what about all this? We need to say, listen to Jesus' words and says, you need to follow me. So what does that mean for you? Here's just the last thought I have. Again, as I was praying this morning, the story of the calling of the first disciples. And the story is, you're familiar with it, when Jesus called the disciples, they've been fishing all night, and how much did they catch? How much did they catch? They were discouraged, they didn't catch anything. That's not the point of what I want to share. Just let me read the story to you. I think it's fitting, I really do. In Luke 5, verse 1, it says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that's Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Peter, put out into deeper water and let down the nets for the catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night long, and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. That's the heart of a Jesus follower. Because you say so, we will do it. And when they had done so, again, you know the story, they caught such a great number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. You know, I think of a couple things just I want to highlight that God put on my heart as far as this transition from Provo really to Draper for many of you. Again, being in Draper and being a part of this whole, you know, the planting of Provo and now the transition, and I see it kind of like this, that Jesus is concerned about the catch, right? We came out here 16 and a half years ago to be fishers of men and women. That's why we came out here. We didn't come out here to start churches. We came here to win souls for Jesus. We did. That's what it's all about. I led two people to Christ in my living room 2 days ago. And I like telling people when they say, why did you come out to Utah? And I say, for you. For you. That's why I came out. To help you come to know Jesus. That's all I want to do, is catch men and women, to fish for men and women, to help people come to know Christ and have their lives transformed. Amen? That's why we came out here. And we believe God's given us a vision for Utah. The lake is Utah. And we're fishing together on the lake. We're partners, aren't we? We're all partners fishing on the lake. And that's what we're about. We're not about just fixing our nets, just fixing the boat, just working on our little area of the lake. It's the whole lake. It's all the fish that God has us for. And in this situation, there was a need. It wasn't that the boat on the shore cleaning their nets was doing anything wrong or was in disobedience or weren't doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. The point that I want to make this morning is there was a need somewhere else. in one of the boats, and they call for help. Men and women, I'm going to share my heart with you just like I did with the McEnroes a few weeks ago. There's a need in Draper, and I called for help. I sat with the McEnroes and said, I need your help in Draper. It doesn't discount what God's doing here, but I'm telling you something, the nets are full. We built a building a year ago. There have been so many people coming that the boat is sinking in Draper. We need help. Just like Jesus was in the boat with these guys, and evidently Jesus didn't stop Peter from saying, I need help. He didn't stop him physically, otherwise we would have seen it. Did he encourage Peter to say, go get those guys and have them come over here? We need you right in the spot right now. He didn't say, you guys need to stay in your area. That your boat is your boat. You just fill up, you know, go find your own. No, Peter said, come here. Our nets are full. We need help. That's exactly what Peter did. And they came because they're Jesus followers. So when I asked Mac and Jeannie to consider coming back to Draper, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to ask somebody. I told them that. It was easier to send them down here. To ask for help was a harder thing. But you know what? They're Jesus followers. It's about the whole lake. It's about reaching the whole state. And I just want to encourage you. I know maybe it's hard to understand, but I just want to give you a visual of these are new attenders that have come in the last 11 months. Each one represents a family in Draper. I'm the only pastor in Draper. We have close to 600 people coming every weekend. It's growing like crazy. You know, we've had about 90 names of people who have gotten saved this year. 73% of those are from Draper. We've had 50 baptisms. Over 60% are from Draper. I'm the only guy there. I need help. My boat's sinking, guys. It doesn't discount what God's done here. Does that make sense? These are souls. These are, and so I just want to end saying a couple things. If you come to Draper, God bless you, but come ready to work. Come ready to work. Come ready to pull the fish in. Don't come sulking. Don't come, oh, woe is us. No, we're on the same team. We're on the same lake. You have a boat that can take some fish. And it says, when they came, guess what? Both boats were filled to the point of sinking. We need you. I want you to come. I want you to serve. I need your heart. I need you to love people, to pull the fish in. We got a lot of new people, a lot of visitors. These are just the ones that filled stuff out. You know how hard it is to get one family to fill it out? You could double this. I'm not kidding you. We are overfilled, and we need help. So I'm going to encourage you to come. I'm going to encourage you to consider being a part of what the Rock, what the ministry of the Rock, it's all together. I'm calling out for your boat, and I know that could be difficult, but I want to get your eyes focused on this. This is what God's calling us to do, and Steve and Jeannie and all your core people, they're Jesus followers, and you need to know that about them. I think the only other thing I'd like to just share again is what we did, what I shared at the very beginning, is that you have to figure out exactly what God has for you. You have to hear the voice of the Lord say to you, no matter what you're looking back on, no matter what you're mourning, which is fine, you have to hear the voice of the Lord when he says, as for you, you need to follow me. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for you at this point? Listen to God's voice, follow him where he leads you, and guess what? He will fill your boat. He will fill your boat. Amen? Amen. So, who's next here? Paul. Paul, come on up here, brother. Amen.
Where do I hold this? About there? Mac just asked me to talk about how Jesus came into my life and brought me to the Rock. So I asked the Holy Spirit to give me words to speak like I do every morning, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And by the 14th verse of John, that was verse 1, the Word became flesh, and that's Jesus, and that's who we're all following. And the way Jesus made a tool, this is the story of Jesus making a tool. And I'm that tool that he built, and it's not my story, it's his actions upon a man like this that wasn't worth diddly squat until he came into my life. And he saved me when I was a child from a horse ride that went awry, but I held on. And he gave me the strength to hold on as about a six-year-old to that saddle horn because he had plans for me. And then as a teenager, I went over the diversion dam up in Provo Canyon. He provided a friend of mine the ability to pull me out of like a washing machine. There was no place to plant your feet, but Jesus planted Kim there, and Kim was able to pull me out. And then I went through 3 or 4 car wrecks and was able to walk away from them, and other people weren't. And I lost a niece and a nephew in a car accident and 3 other kids. And so it's all about how Jesus has plans for each one of us, and I'm just one of the stories that wasn't written in John chapter 21, verse 25, where there's not enough room for all of our stories that Jesus is. It's his stories in each one of us. It's not our stories. It's his and his love for each one of us. And he takes those he takes when he takes them, and no one knows why. But he could have taken me with even deep vein thrombosis in 2004. And he allowed me to walk out of that hospital in only 4 days. But 2007, he hadn't made a dent in this steel head. I worked at a steel mill. And this, I thought, was a rock hard head, had a few cracks in it. I might be able to learn something. But I found out it was made out of steel. And so there was an accident. My son was basically dead that night. The doctors had taken out his spleen. He'd lost 2/3 of his blood, punctured both his lungs, broke this leg. They had to cut it up both sides, so he had an open wound. And they called us into the little room where they tell you that your loved one isn't going to live. And I'd never read the Bible in my life because I was never planning on dying, because I told everybody when they says, well, you're going to die. And I looked back over my life, and even the cocaine use, all the crap that I did, the close to this and that overdosing and such, whatever, didn't happen. And so I said to these people who told me I was going to die, I said, I'm not going to die because God doesn't want me, and Satan's afraid I'll take over. And so I wasn't going to die. And when I walked out of the hospital with the deep vein thrombosis, the only thing I stopped doing out of all my fleshy lusts and desires and the crap that I did is I gave up smoking because my lungs hurt so bad. When they vacuumed out the blood clots, or however they did it, when I woke up in the ICU, my lungs hurt, so I said, I'm done smoking. And Jesus, though, allowed me to live again, and he wasn't done with his plan for me, because my son got in that accident, almost died that night. They said, he's dying, he's gone, we've done what we can. And that's the first time in my life I made a vow with Jesus. I went out of the hospital. I says, God, I'll read your flipping Bible if you'll allow my son to live. And I shook my fist. And he said, okay. Basically, I went back in the hospital, started reading. I go, where do I start? I didn't know the Bible from anything else. And I thought, okay, New Testament, it's newer than the old. I'll go with the newer thing. So I started in Matthew that night in the hospital, and in the morning my son was showing some improvement, and so I kept reading, and for about 2 months there I stayed in that hospital, stayed with him in the ICU. He was in an induced coma, had drain tubes out of both his lungs, had the open wound in his leg, and was laying there in an induced coma. And I just sat there and kept reading. But we are all Jesus followers. I am one now. I love Jesus. He loves me. I know that. And I didn't hear it in Sunday school. But I know it because he took my heart, which was made out of stone, and he massaged it. He saved me, he saved my son, he saved my other son, my stepson. I hope he can save my stepdaughter. And my dad was Mormon for 93 and a half years. And I was reading to him and showing him things like Mormonism versus DNA and all the proof that he was living and worshiping a lie. And finally, I got him reading John, and he goes, "I like this John," and he knew Jesus. And Daniel Trefoya went over to him one day and helped him through the sinner's prayer, and he chose Jesus and became a Jesus follower. For the last 6 months of his life, he knew joy. And that little bit of happiness we get once in a while doesn't compare to joy. And the reality that is gained from that joy and that love that he taught us how to love. I didn't know how to love. He's taught me how to love. Because he is love. But that reality lasts through eternity. And we get to have that loving reality from now on. And my dad finally found that out. My son's having a... And I wouldn't have come here except for Daniel Trefoya again one day. I was looking over the used Christian books in Savers. And they have more than DI. But... He goes, "Do you know Jesus?" Because Daniel likes to minister to homeless and the looks of homeless people. And I said, "Yeah, I know Jesus." And he goes, "Well, where do you go to church?" And I was testing the waters at the time. I went to Center Point. I went to the Baptist church. And that was real lively in the Baptist church. The little piano player was the daughter of the pastor. And boy, she could plink a piano and loud. But he also gave his sermons really loud. And I even went there drunk a few times because I hadn't found the end of my thirst at that time. But when I walked through the doors, Daniel says, "Go to the rock." So I came down the rock. When I walked through the doors, it was home. I was home. And it's still home. And I guess Draper's the new location for me. And for all of us who believe in Jesus and are Jesus followers. And I'm drier than a popcorn fart. I need to have a drink of water, so I love y'all. I know Jesus loves y'all. And every one of you is part of his stories that, like chapter 21 in John and in verse 25, last verse, we're part of those stories that there isn't enough room to write them all down. Or we'd just fill the world with our stories, but I'm glad and I'm thankful that Jesus has found a tool to use, and he's allowed me to live and my children to live, and my son actually gave me 3 more grandkids, so thank you.
I had to write it down so that I didn't just stand here and look at you guys. Because I get nervous when I talk. So I started coming to the Rock early summer in 2006, downtown Salt Lake. And I've had a lot of life. I've lived a lot of life in that time. Lots has happened. God has done so much in my life in that time. I've heard so many teachings. and connected with so many people and so many hearts. But God has really used all of this to really just shape me and just really cement my convictions and my beliefs. In Christ, things like God is good, and He has a good plan. Things like when your bottom falls out, or when you're toxic or venomous, that you don't go to a friend first and spew that all out all over your friends, that you can go to God with anything, and that you can give that to God, no matter what it is, that it's better that you go to God with that stuff first. Steele once challenged us to plant our flags as a lifer. You guys remember that? Anybody remember that? That was a long time ago. I have done that today. That is a choice that I have made in my life. I am a lifer. There is nothing that will steer my ship away from the love of my life, who is Jesus Christ. Bill once challenged me in a conversation that we had that he said, God or man, Janice? And at the time, I was a little, maybe, mad. But still in the back of my head, when I have to make decisions where that is concerned, sometimes my family is concerned, my children. I still hear your voice in the back of my head, Bill. Jeannie says that that's God's voice, or that's God's voice. But today that is my choice. God is my choice. I choose God today. And Bill, if that's God's voice, now I know why your kids are so good. I was blessed to have lived with the Max for a time where the bottom did fall out of my previous marriage. And I cannot begin to tell you the gallons of wisdom that I gained from that experience. And I'll tell you that you guys should all go and live with the Max for a little while. You guys, they are absolutely amazing people. Mac really does get up before the sun shines, and he reads his Bible every day. Jeannie does the same thing. And you know why? Because they are in love with Jesus Christ. I lived with them for too long for it to have been a show. I watched them live it. I watched them walk it. I watched the Holy Spirit work through them as they ministered to me, as the Holy Spirit ministered through them, as ministered to me through them. It's not a show. They walk the walk. The things that they say are the way that they live. It's not fake. So one of the most impactful things that I think I heard, things, does that make sense? Anyway. One of the things that impacted my life most, when I first started coming, I think I heard it in the downtown church, but you hear it all the time. Is that the Rock Church? The Rock Church's desire is to be a springboard for us, for our faith, for our relationship, to be more. I'm saying this all wrong. Their desire is for us to have a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ, and the Rock Church wants to be a springboard for us for that to happen. Does that make sense? If you've been coming for any amount of time, you've heard that been said. I'm sure that the people who say it a lot better than I just said it. They'll say something like, get into fellowship, pray, read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get one. And if you can't get one, come and see me and I'll get one for you. You guys have all heard them say that, I'm sure, right? Everyone's heard them say that. You know why they say that? You guys know why they say that? Because they don't want you to rely on their faith. Because Max's faith can't save you. Caleb's faith can't save you. When God tells Max something, it's God telling Max something. God can't. I'm not gonna say that. Their faith can't save you. No one else's faith can save you. Not in this life or in the next life. The Rock Church isn't this building. It isn't any building. It's a body of believers in the living Christ, people who believe in Jesus. We are growing and learning and having faith in the truth of His Word. And you can't have faith in the truth of His Word if you don't know what it says. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive in His Word. And He will change your world. He will change your life. But you have to read it. You have to open up your Bible. And you have to listen to what He says. And you have to pray. And that's only something that you can do on your own. And if you don't believe me, you can try it for yourself. Get in fellowship. Pray. Read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get one. And if you can't get one, come and see me. And I'll give you one. I love this church. I love these people. I will be going to Draper. Because I am a part of the body of the Rock Church. These are my family. This is my family. And God has called me to go there. He told me Himself.
Thank you, Jenna. I know everybody has a story here. If the band wants to come on up. Each one of you, you have something that God's done. There's really, like it says in Thessalonians, we are His letters. He's really written His story on all of our lives, and it doesn't end here. God's got much more to do with us. This, maybe the chapter changes, maybe it looks a little different, but I'm excited to see where we're headed from here. So we're just going to sing a couple more songs together. Caleb and Kelsey, or just Caleb, I guess, are going to lead us in a couple more songs. And I'm going to get back up, and we're going to end with communion today. So that's what it looks like.